Unless you were born with the name Rockefeller, or you were lucky enough to discover gold while digging for petunias in your backyard, then like the most of us adults, you probably have to go to work. And there are all sorts of different kinds of work that we go to when that whistle blows. You might work in an office, answering phones.
Good morning, it's Cornerstone Dynamics, Adriana speaking.
You might work in a schoolroom teaching children.
Excuse me, class. Class.
Pretty tough job those teachers have. But maybe you work in construction.
Okay, all right. Back it up a little more. Okay, a little over to the left. All right, Willie, got that?
But you know, no matter what kind of work you do, at the end of the day, it's still work. And for many people, work seems onerous, kind of burdensome. For some people, work almost feels like punishment. We have bad names for it. We call it the daily grind and the ball and chain. And every once in a while, we find ourselves living for the weekends and our vacations. But actually, there's something sacred about work. You see, we were created with a rhythm of life that allows for rest and that calls for us to work. And even though we feel burdened by work and we sometimes feel that we need to escape it and get rid of it altogether, the truth of the matter is that it is ordained for us to find ourselves at work. If you're going to enjoy the rest that is intended for you, it's time for us to take another look at the work that is also intended for us. And today we're going to do that as we consider the rest of your story. How you doing, everyone? My name is Nick Taliaferro, and I'm your host here at The Rest of Your Story, a program designed to remind you that every life tells a story, and every story needs a rest. We're here to introduce you to the divine rest that God intends for you. And today, in the wake of Labor Day, we want to talk about rest in the context of the labor, of the work that you do. You know, all of us have a work to do, no matter whether we're being paid for it or not, or whether we like it or not. The fact is that you can tell a lot about yourself by your work, the way you approach your work and the way you execute your work plan. And just as importantly, other people can tell a lot about you by the way you work and the results of your work. Indeed, your work actually will speak for you. On that note, ladies and gentlemen, why don't you join me in listening to a good friend and sister of mine, Evelyn Goodman, as she talks to us about the way that our work can actually speak for us.
Try to speak for me. May the service I give speak for me. May the service I give speak for me.
Yes, indeed.
Speak for me.
May the work I've done speak for me. From the CD, Just Keith and Evelyn. That's Evelyn Fordham Goodman, accompanied by her husband, Pastor Keith Goodman, both of them good friends of mine. And on the organ, my good friend, Pastor Troy Chambers. I had the opportunity to minister with all of them as a part of a ministerial team at the North Philadelphia Church in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, some of the best years of my life. May the work I've done speak for me. And it will. What we do will speak for us. Work is an important part of who a person is, and it reveals a lot about who a person is by those things that they do as an expression that we commonly call work. But today, work has gotten a bad rap. It's come under some fire. People view work mostly as punishment, and I wonder how that happened, when in reality, the second thing human beings were asked to do was to give an effort. The first thing that God did after Adam and Eve was created was to give them rest and to teach them that their security in life was based not in what they did or did not do, but it was based on whether or not they could get comfortable with what God has already done for them. Rest comes first. It is the preparation for work. When a person at rest, when they are content, then you can ask them to do pretty much anything, and they will be able to do it knowing that that is not the full definition of their being, but that their expression, their willingness to engage in that activity is based on the fact that they've already found contentment. But something happened after man sinned, after man fell away from his compact, his contract with God, and work became something that took on the form of punishment. Listen to what God said in Genesis chapter 3.
And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return.
The words are dire. They sound severe because something very serious has happened. mankind has strayed away from the directive that God has given to him, and now the ground is cursed, and the world, the earth, will not give its seed willingly. And then God says, now you're going to have to work harder. And it sounds like he is saying, I'm punishing you because of what you've done. But this is one of those great places where we can take another view of Scripture. Instead of seeing it as punishment, we have to understand it as discipline. And there's a stark difference between those two words. Punishment is exacted when someone is angry and they want the person at whom they are angry to suffer. Discipline is put forward when someone may be angry, but what they wish to do is to have the person with whom they are angry to be corrected so that they can restore that individual. Discipline is productive. God is saying that the workload in life will increase as an act of discipline. When you work now, you will realize that there are times that we make life harder because of our straying away from God, our moving away from that which God has ordered us to do. And trust me, life can become tougher when you stop listening to what God says and you decide to go your own way and follow your own curiosities. But even more so, the work that we do chases us back to the God who gave us the initial rest. When I go to work, it causes me to look forward to that time that I can be joined with God so that I will understand what it means to let my burdens down. When I am working, I can almost hear the voice of someone calling out to me, "Come unto me, all of you who labor and are laden down with heavy burdens, because I want to give you rest." When you look at work from that perspective, you realize that work is more than simply an activity that is punishment. It's a redemptive discipline that allows you to grow in a direction that is healing for you. That's why it's important for us to make sure that our work is meaningful. Listen to the words of Dr. Barry Schwartz, noted psychologist and the author of the book, Why We Work.
Sort of the standard view is that people work for pay, period. If you pay them, it doesn't matter what they do. If you don't pay them, it doesn't matter what they, if you don't pay them enough, it doesn't matter what they do. People work for pay, and that's all there is to it. So you can organize work in the most sort of efficient, degrading, meaningless way possible, and it really won't matter because people work for pay. And the whole point of my book is to suggest that while, of course, people work for pay, that's not the only reason they work, and it's not even the most important reason they work. People want to do work that's engaging, that's challenging, where they have some control over what they do, some discretion, some variety, where they feel like they're learning on the job. And most important, people want to do work that has meaning. They want to feel like somehow what they do make somebody else's life better, even in some small way.
So the question is not whether work is bad. The question isn't about whether work is punishment. The question is, can we find work that we perceive has meaning? The idea is to make this discipline something that is meaningful to the people who are experiencing it, so they're not simply enduring it. When people go to work, and if they're involved in labor activities that they don't perceive a sense of meaning from, it leads to a depressing state. To talk more about that, a friend of mine that I worked with years ago, Dr. Arthur Evans, joins us to speak about what can happen when a workplace turns in a negative direction.
The first big takeaway here is that Americans and our workforce, our employees, are stressed. Your employees are experiencing a lot of stress. We know that about 79% of employees say that they've experienced at least some work-related stress in the past month. But it's a much more complex picture than that, because when you look at other surveys that have been done, other types of information that we have available to us about how people are doing, it paints a really bleak picture of the impact that the pandemic has had on people's mental health. We know, for example, that but that people are reporting symptoms like anxiety or symptoms consistent with anxiety or depression at a rate that's 3 to 4 times what it was before the pandemic. Our Stress in America survey, the American Psychological Association Stress in America survey, which we do each year, but we've done on a quarterly basis throughout the pandemic, shows that what happened after the pandemic is that there was a spike in stress levels and that they stayed pretty high throughout the pandemic. We know that people are experiencing the impact of this chronic stress in lots of different ways. We know, for example, that about 60% of the population is experiencing unwanted weight changes. About 40% of those folks saying that they've had weight gain, and about 20% saying that they've had unwanted weight loss. We know that more people are drinking to cope with their stress related to the pandemic. That's what they report. We know that there are increased overdose deaths, and that that children are going to the emergency department in psychological distress in much greater numbers than they were before the pandemic.
That's Dr. Arthur Evans, the CEO of the American Psychological Association, and a really decent person, I might add. But talking to us about the stressful circumstances of people working in places, especially after the stressful pandemic, where they are perceiving themselves to not be doing meaningful things and the stress associated with it. So to sum it all up, what we have is a situation where work could be and should be a disciplinary tool used to bring us back to God, who warned us against straying away from him in the first place, and that we should try to make that work as meaningful as we possibly can, infuse it with meaning. And it doesn't matter what you're doing. Any work can be infused with meaning. If you're digging ditches and you know that you're digging ditches so that people can have better plumbing, that is meaning. But the idea is to make sure that we focus on the meaningful part of the endeavor, infusing things with meaning. And if we don't, we create a stressful environment where people are beginning to have negative outcomes in their own physical and mental states. And that is where we are today. So it remains important to us to find a way to create meaningful perspectives in the work that we are doing. And you would be surprised as to how many people are talking about finding meaning in work these days. It seems that the pandemic raised the sense of needing to have meaningful work and to do meaningful things at work. Many people walked away from their job because they simply felt that they were out of their own purpose. They have a name for it. It's called now the Great Resignation, people just leaving their work and trying to find things that are more meaningful for themselves. Forbes magazine listed 15 different ways to find meaning in your work. And if you go online, you will discover a lot of people trying to give you tips and hints on how to find meaning in the work that you do. But I'll share just a few of them with you. One is, they said, that you have to find a way to enjoy the simple things about your work, the little things that you appreciate and that give you a sense of meaning. Number two, you can try to improve your work environment, maybe putting a plant somewhere in your cubicle. I don't know what it takes, but find a way to improve your work environment. Find a way to see what actually motivates you in the work that you're doing. Even if you're sweeping a street, you can find something inside that actually tells you what your motivations are. Consider the legacy that you leave when you're at work, the things that you do. Who will they impress? How will they help someone? What will they say about you when you are gone? Reflect on your talents. Number five is one of the ways to find meaningful work or to find meaning in your work. You can ask yourself, what talents am I exhibiting? Am I exhibiting strength when I am helping to move this family in from one place to another? Am I exhibiting a sense of analytical skill when I assist in helping in a problem at work? And then think about whether or not you can acquire new skills while you're working. Are you picking up other traits and other talents while you're doing what you're doing? Even something as simple as painting a house might give you a sense of building a new skill in the way you handle the corners that you paint. But I'll be the first one to admit that sometimes it's a little tough to find meaning when work is going slow or going hard, or you're working with people who are creating difficulties for you. That's when we turn to scriptural wisdom to encourage ourselves to make it through when things get difficult. I think of the words of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, I believe, where it says, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." In other words, remember that your working is not only good for you, but it is also helpful to people that you can be of help to. Or Deuteronomy chapter 3 and verse 18, where it says, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth." Remember that you are being fueled by someone else. That brings us back to the idea of rest. Sometimes when work gets difficult, you go back to remembering that there is a God who will give you rest, who will refuel and restore you so that you can handle the burdens and the duties of the day. You know, the truth of the matter is there are times, even when we recognize that work is a discipline and that work is a tool that's being used to help make us better, there are times when we simply need to find the strength to kind of endure what we're going through. Endurance at times becomes the pathway to success in our workplace, allowing us to get from rest to rest. I listen to the words of Mervyn Warren when he sings the song that asks us to remember that endurance is something that we can get from the God who cares.
The race is not given to the swift nor the mighty, but to him who survives until the end. So though we are driven to the edge, God holds tightly to our hearts to remind us that his Spirit gives us power to and
Hold on, don't get weary. That's a sacred invitation to remember that there's a source of strength that will allow you to endure, reminding us that the race is not to the swift nor the battle to the mighty, but to endure. Mervyn Warren with the song Endure. I want to thank you for joining us, and for those of you who are listening for the first time, we will be with you every Friday evening trying to remind you that there is sacred rest waiting for you. Once again, my name is Nick Taliaferro, and I'm the host of The Rest of Your Story. And every Friday evening, we'll be looking forward to spending this time with you again, reminding you that every life tells a story, and every story is in need of rest. Take care of yourself, everybody, and I'll see you again next week right here on The Rest of Your Story.